Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is underway. It is Thursday, December 20th, 2018. We are 5 days away from my favorite holiday, Christmas. Oh, boy. It's a beautiful time of the year, right? Everyone, with a smile on their face around this time of the year. It's joy everywhere. You get to see your family and friends. You get some time off from the job. Oh, you can't beat Christmas, right? Yeah. Round of applause for Christmas. All right. I'll be actually heading out to go spend Christmas with my mom, stepdad, and my little sis down in Florida. I'm a bit nervous, though, because we all know about holiday travel, right? And I've been reading reports since this morning about how hectic it is going to be traveling, all right? So for those like myself that will be traveling throughout the holidays for Christmas and New Year's, please travel safely and plan accordingly. I saw a statistic that at least one-third of Americans will be traveling in these next couple of weeks. Crazy stuff, right? But happy holidays to you and yours. We've got a great hour of current sports coming right your way. On today's show, we will be talking about and putting a bow on the signing day conversation concerning Michigan State football. As Mark D'Antonio, while I was on the air yesterday at 1 p.m., he addressed the media inside of the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center in the north end zone of Spartan Stadium. Really going through his entire class as Michigan State football welcomes 20 new names to the program. And aside from signing day, of course, a Q&A period was opened up after Coach D went through each and every name on that signing day list. And I got one bone to pick with Coach D. One bone to pick with Coach D out of his press conference yesterday. Stay tuned for that. All right, I won't let you know what that is right now. I'll tease that right now. When it comes to today's guest for current sports, I'm excited to have him on. He's a dear friend of the show. Michigan State men's basketball fans know him quite well. His name is Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball player. He transferred into the program, had a solid career before his year ended a bit unexpectedly on the road, suffering a season-ending leg injury. But Aaron is still keeping the dream of playing professional basketball alive. He's actually a professional basketball player overseas right now. He plays for a team out in Finland. And Aaron, you know, as you can imagine, his schedule is pretty hectic and crazy right now. Aaron is not in Finland. He's actually in France. And he will be joining us live from France to give us an update on how his professional career overseas is coming along. He actually had a game last night, and we'll also get Aaron's thoughts on this year's Michigan State men's basketball team and just where basketball, where college hoops stands right now in the midst of all this controversy with the FBI investigations and so on and so forth. All right, so that should be a fun chat with Aaron Harris. And then on the back end of the show, I'll have brief thoughts concerning a very big name in the world of the NFL, who is deciding to, yet again, step away from the game of football to focus on his mental health. All right, and if we have time, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. where we take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. So don't miss all of that. And as you see, our plate runneth over on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and kicking there. And you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR. You know what's next? Here are your quick hit headliners. And this news broke on the tail end of Mark D'Antonio's press conference yesterday on early signing day for MSU football. As many of you know by now, Michigan State junior corner Justin Lane, he announced last week that he is foregoing his final season of eligibility and entering the NFL draft. And Mark D'Antonio confirmed that Lane will not play in the Red Box Bowl on New Year's Eve against Oregon in Santa Clara, California, and also that Lane is no longer with the team. Lane earned second-team All-Big Ten honors this season, intercepting one pass, breaking up 15, which tied for first in the Big Ten Conference. He ranks among the top 10 draft-eligible corners, according to ESPN analyst Mel Kiper Jr. So, more on Lane not playing in the bowl game in just a moment. Michigan football senior running back Caron Higdon also has announced that he will not play in the Peach Bowl on December 29th as he continues preparation for the upcoming NFL draft. Higdon voted a captain by Michigan teammates earlier this season. He became Michigan's first running back to break the 1,000-yard mark since Fitzgerald Toussaint did so back in 2011. So, again, these names are coming by the day, I feel like. Big names who feel like they will be in the NFL come next year, declaring for the NFL draft and not seeing value in playing for meaningless bowl games to end the year, unless you are competing for, of course, a national championship. And I can't fault these young men. All right, I'll revisit that conversation in just a moment, okay? And moving along, after playing two of their last three games on the road, the number 22 Michigan State women's basketball team returns home to the friendly confines of the Breslin Center to open a two-game homestand against Florida Atlantic tonight. The game against FAU will be Michigan State's final game before taking a break for the holidays. Tip time for tonight, 7 p.m., and the Spartans, again, remain in both polls this week. As I mentioned, number 22 in both the Associated Press Top 25 poll and the USA Today Coaches poll. Prior to last week, the last time MSU was ranked was November 21st of 2016. Had it been that long, my goodness, when the Spartans were ranked number 23 in the AP poll and number 19 in the Coaches poll. And after a 2-0 start to the dual meet season, the Michigan State wrestling team will head west this week for the Reno Tournament of Champions tonight. Michigan State has 19 participants entered into the tournament, which includes one unattached wrestler in redshirt Peyton Omania at 149 pounds. Now, from a Division I perspective, the competition in Reno is loaded with talent featuring a grand total of, count them, 25 wrestlers ranked by Intermat. Oklahoma State leads the crowd with 10 ranked wrestlers, followed by Arizona State with 5, Wyoming and Old Dominion with 3, Michigan State with 2, and lastly, American and CSU Bakersfield both with 1. Pretty impressive stuff there. So a lot of talented wrestlers competing in the tournament in Rio. All right, trailing by 14 to start the fourth quarter, the Detroit Pistons got rolling on three-pointers. That's the game today. I mean, heck, last night we saw the Houston Rockets break an NBA record, 26 three-pointers. 26 three-pointers in one NBA game. That is an NBA record. That's the way the game is evolving to, where every team wants to hoist up threes. And frankly, if you can't hit the deep ball, you can't compete in basketball today. It's just how the game has evolved now. That's how the Pistons got rolling the last night. However, their shortest shot of the night might have been the most important, though. Blake Griffin scored 34 points. Reggie Bullock added a career-high 33 as the Pistons beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 129-123 in overtime last night. Andre Drummond's tip-in with 0.6 seconds left in the game sent the game to overtime. And then the NBA's leading rebounder, he hit a rare three-pointer. I told you how the game is evolving, right? No longer do big men just stand in the paint and shoot, you know, jump hooks and dunk. You have to be able to hit the three-pointer down now if you want to survive as a big man in the game. And Andre Drummond certainly did that last night. Hit a rare three-pointer of his own in overtime to put the Pistons on top for good. And now the red, white, and royal blue will hit the road to play the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow night. So MJ's Hornets on the docket tomorrow. Also, the Carolina Hurricanes will play the Detroit Red Wings tonight at Little Caesars Arena at 7 p.m. Tonight's game is the third and final matchup between the Hurricanes and the Winged Wheel this year. The Wings are 0-1-1 on the year against the Canes. The Wings have lost their last four games, with the most recent coming on Tuesday to a Philadelphia Flyers team that had just fired its coach and had their starting goalie making his NHL debut. Now, on top of losing games, the Wings continue to struggle with losing players, with Jimmy Howard being the latest to miss time due to back problems during warm-ups 2 days ago. And some news here concerning a name that you haven't heard from in a while, Detroit Lions fans. Former Detroit Lions wide receiver Titus Young was released from the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation Center last week after serving almost half of his four-year prison sentence for battery with serious injury. Now, the 29-year-old Young had previously been denied parole in February for the fight he was sentenced to prison for in 2016, the last crime in a string of offenses that dates back to 2013, when he was released by both the Lions and the St. Louis Rams. Now, the Lions took Young in the second round of the 2011 draft out of Boise State. He played 2 years for the D, catching 81 passes for 990 yards, 10 TDs in 26 games. But Titus Young, a very troubled young man who was really battling what he says are just mental demons. And he has fought a long time to try and get those under control. And he also blamed the game of football for those mental demons, saying that the game of football has led to damage in his brain, thus causing these mental problems for him. And speaking of that conversation, this goes right into that conversation. New England Patriots receiver Josh Gordon announced today that he is stepping away from football to focus on his mental health. In a statement on Twitter, Gordon said, quote, "I take my mental health very seriously at this point to ensure I remain able to perform at the highest level. I have recently felt like I could have a better grasp on things mentally. With that said, I will be stepping away from the football field a bit to focus on my mental health," end quote. Now, Gordon went on to thank head coach Bill Belichick, team owner Robert Kraft, and the entire Patriots organization and its fans. A short time later, the Patriots said in a statement that they support Gordon, quote, "in his continued efforts to focus on his health," end quote. I have more on Titus Young and Josh Gordon later on this hour, but if you would like to comment on anything you just heard or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, again, that number to call is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below that live stream. And you can join the conversation on Twitter as well. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
John Embry, another great young man from Destrehan, Louisiana. Hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Great young man. On a scrimmage, we wanted to get bigger. I'll stop.
Hey, stop the ball, stop the drill. I'm having a press conference. Thank you.
We had to fix the line of scrimmage. Went all the way to Michigan.
That's great stuff, isn't it? That first audio snippet you heard was from head coach of the LSU football team, Ed Orgeron, who many say sounds like Cookie Monster from the Sesame Street show, and he really does. There are so many Ed Orgeron impressions out there. I can't do it. You know, I feel like I would, like, you know, blow out my vocal cord if I tried. But Ed Orgeron, who is quite the character, during his signing day press conference yesterday, he was at the podium. And, you know, the press conference is actually happening right on the practice field. And in the background, I guess his players were still practicing and making all this noise. And Ed stopped and he let everybody know that, hey, I'm having a press conference here. Hey, guys, I'm having a press conference. And he goes back to the podium. Tries to resume the press conference, and then, you know, like, not more than a minute later, the noise amps up again, and Ed just loses it, and then walks out on the field halfway and says, hey, I'm having a press conference. All right, put the balls away, put the equipment away. It was absolutely hilarious. It went viral everywhere. SportsCenter on ESPN had a lot of fun with that snippet last night. If you haven't seen it, just simply do a simple Google. Or go on Twitter and type in Ed Orgeron, and it will pop right up. So that was one of my favorite moments from signing day yesterday. Also, I do want to acknowledge what was probably the most classy move of signing day yesterday, one that really pulls on your heartstrings. Probably one of the greatest signing days you'll ever see, as Hanahan's Cooper Dawson. He picked Syracuse. He's a top player whose senior year actually was derailed by injury. And, you know, this was, I guess, out there on the wire that he was going to probably pick Syracuse. But what makes this moment so great is that, you know, he's not there alone with the Syracuse hat making his decision and his national letter of intent right there on the desk. But he told his close friend, Kingsley Feynman, first. And Feynman is handicapped. He's in a wheelchair, and Cooper Dawson and Kingsley Feynman, they're really close friends. And he promised Feynman that he would tell him before he told the public. So before Cooper Dawson announced that he's going to pick Syracuse, he kind of turns over to Kingsley Feynman, who's sitting there in the wheelchair, and he lets Kingsley actually make the announcement after he whispers the choice in his ear. And then Kingsley, his eyes get real bright, and he smiles and says he's going to Syracuse. And Cooper puts the hat actually on Kingsley, and it's really emotional. And he gives Cooper gives Kingsley a huge hug. And probably the quote of that moment for me was watching that moment and seeing this genuine friendship between these two. But when Dawson added that Kingsley taught him that the only disability is a bad attitude, when he said that, man, I got a bit emotional. And that's just a great, great moment in signing day history. That's a philosophy in life that we should all have, right? The only disability is a bad attitude. No matter what you're going through, or no matter how much you feel life has dealt you a bad hand, it's all about how you mentally deal with that. The attitude in which you approach that with that will determine whether or not you win or lose in this crazy thing we call life. So shout out to Cooper Dawson and Kingsley Fineman. That was my favorite moment of National Early Signing Day. All right, well, from that moment to a moment here on campus for the Michigan State football team that I wasn't pleased with. You know, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, we all know Mark D'Antonio will probably go down as the greatest Michigan State football coach to ever do it. I mean, his accomplishments speak for itself. And, you know, no matter how you may feel about the program right now, because let's be real here, last year, not a great year for MSU football. This was a team that tremendously underperformed. This is a team that we all thought, after coming off a double-digit win season last year, capping things off with the Holiday Bowl win over Washington State, with the majority of its starters coming back, we thought that Michigan State was going to be in the mix of things to compete for a conference championship. We all know what happened. That did not happen. And Michigan State ends up getting an invite to the Red Box Bowl of all bowls to play Oregon on New Year's Eve. So yesterday being National Early Signing Day, we were on the air. I was on the air during Mark D'Antonio's press conference. So I couldn't hear it in real time because I was on the air. I was doing a show. So after the show, I went to my office and, you know, I started to watch the press conference. And, it, of course, it's incredibly long because, you know, it kind of reminds me of what Tom Izzo does on media day for his Michigan State men's basketball team. He'll go, you know, player by player and give that player strengths and weaknesses. I think for Mark D'Antonio, he just goes player by player, you know, on his signing day list and talks about where that player is from. And he gives the strengths, right? And then after Mark D'Antonio goes through the list of 20 that signed yesterday, he then opens it up for a question and answer period. And it began by just talking about how Mark feels about the class, who are some standouts. Mark also went on record to talk about how he believes this year's class is going to be the most impressive bunch of offensive linemen that he's ever had in his 12 seasons at the helm of this program. And then the question was asked after all of the signing day jazz, and I believe it was Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News who asked the question. You know, he asked about Justin Lane. Now, if you have been living under a rock, and if you are tuning in late and didn't check out that first headliner that I just read to you all, Michigan State junior corner Justin Lane, he announced last week on Twitter that he is now foregoing his final season of eligibility and entering the NFL draft. So Matt Charbonneau asked Mark D'Antonio, you know, just to give your thoughts on that. Do you expect Lane, though, to play in the Red Box Bowl? Because that's the big hot topic today, right? You know, in college football, around this time. You know, top talent in college football, more and more now over the years, we are seeing top talent say, no, thank you. I don't want to play in the bowl game. I want to get ready for the NFL draft because that's where my future now lies. I want to make money. I want to perform well at the combine. I have bigger fish to fry now. I'm not going to play in the bowl game. I just don't want to do it. You know, in the headliner after the Justin Lane headliner I read you all was another name coming out of the University of Michigan football camp. This one being Karan Higdon announcing that he won't play in the Peach Bowl on December 29th. So he's taking the same route as Rashawn Gary, the same route as Devin Bush. So when Matt Charbonneau asked this question to Coach D'Antonio, I frankly did not like the answer. Didn't like it at all. It came off as very selfish. You know, Christmas is supposed to be the most giving and joyous time of the year, right? But when it comes to college football, it is one of the most selfish times of the year. I got to be real with you guys. One, I'm not a big fan of bowl games. You guys know that. Those who have been tuning in to current sports these last few weeks, I have been sounding off on this. All right? I think that the college football playoff system has really, when looking at the semifinal and the national championship game and how things are chosen now, it has really made every other bowl game that is not a part of the playoff meaningless. Unless your program is going to a bowl game for the first time since 1908, why would you care about the bowl game? You know, and then you can give me this cliche answer, oh, it's a great springboard into next year. Come on now. I mean, come on, especially for a program like Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State is one of the very few Big Ten teams that have played in the college football playoff. And heck, the year prior to that, before Michigan State got mollywopped by Alabama, we all know that Michigan State was in the Rose Bowl. They would have been, if the playoff happened that year, Michigan State would have been in the college football playoff that year as well. So when you talk about Redbox Bowl and you take into account the expectations that were placed on this team coming into this season, Redbox Bowl? Please, come on now. I mean, if you are a Justin Lane and you're looking at your NFL future, why would you risk potential injury? Because we've seen many, many times players who are top NFL caliber talent play in a bowl game, something crazy happens because this is a full-on contact sport in football. Something crazy happens, you get injured, and you derail and throw off your NFL dreams. If you're Justin Lane, why would you try and risk that? You know, and heck, he saw his teammate in Felton Davis III earlier this year. Felton Davis was one of the top wide receivers in the nation, having one historic year. And then on some fluke play, right when the ball is snapped, Felton Davis pushes off his Achilles wrong and completely tears it. That is how quick all of your professional dreams, regardless of the sport, especially a sport that is full contact like college football, the game of football, that is how quick things can end. Just like that. The snap of a finger. So Coach D'Antonio's response was selfish. Simple as that. Coach D'Antonio, when he was asked about this, he went on to say that, yeah, it's disappointing that Lane isn't playing. Quote, everybody these days has a different philosophy on how these things are working out. My philosophy is you finish. You finish the season that includes bowl games or playoff games, end quote. I'll read that one more time. Yeah, disappointing. Everybody these days has a different philosophy on how these things are working out. My philosophy is you finish. You finish the season that includes bowl games or playoff games. You got that? Process that for a second. Mark D'Antonio speaking from a selfish perspective because he is the head football coach of Michigan State University. He could care less about the NFL, especially when you take into account how this team underperformed this year. By the way, they almost lost to Rutgers. That's how bad this year got. And in the whole quarterback controversy, that's how bad this year was. Of course, Mark D'Antonio wants all of his horses ready to end the year on some kind of high note to springboard, here's that old cliche, right, to springboard his program into the 2019 season, getting a win over the Oregon Ducks. Of course, D'Antonio wants all of his horses, and I'm pretty sure that most, if not all, college football coaches feel the same way. I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is sitting there as well saying, man, I wish we would have Rashawn Gary. Man, I wish we had Caron Higdon playing in this game against Florida. Man, I wish we had Devin Bush. But you look at the big picture, players have to be selfish in this perspective. They have to be. These are top-tier players who could possibly be, you know, anywhere from first to third-round draft picks, risking their bodies in a meaningless bowl game where you are not playing for a conference championship, you are not playing for a national championship. It's just a bowl game. A bowl game at the end of the day is the way for the NCAA to make money. That's all it is, dude. That's what it comes down to. Sure, college football purists out there are going to totally disagree with me and say, Al, it's a part of your season. You know, bowl games can tremendously help you out for next year. Stop it. You're kidding yourself. You're saying that because you are a fanatic and you want to see the product while you're sitting at home, you know, on break, on the Christmas holiday. You want to enjoy some college football. That's the perspective you are seeing it from the athlete perspective. And by the way, these college athletes need to get paid. I've said that multiple times. You're not paying these college athletes, and then you expect them to go out there, those who do have an NFL future, to go out there and risk their bodies in one game. It's selfish to say what Coach D said. And I get it. He's living in his bubble. He's living as the head coach of the Michigan State football team. He could care less about the National Football League. I didn't think because Coach D'Antonio usually doesn't give you anything sexy like that during a press conference. You know, usually if that question is posed to Coach D'Antonio, he'll just say, no comment. Next question. We wish Justin Lane the best. He was a great player for us. Let's move on. Anybody else got any other questions? Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Drew Henderson, behind the glass. That's Coach D'Antonio. Next question. I'm not going to elaborate on that. Wish Justin the best. He's a fantastic player. I know he's going to do great things in the NFL. That's how you handle that question. But his emotions got the best of him, which happens from time to time with Coach D. Everybody these days have a different philosophy on how things are working out. My philosophy is you finish the season. That includes bowl games or playoff games. And here's the kicker for me. I'm going to end my point on this. I'm going to end my point here. Because with that being said, do we not remember when Coach D'Antonio was an assistant at Cincinnati? Do we not remember what happened then? Can we go back in history just for a minute? Late November of 2006. Head coach for the University of Cincinnati football team. This is when Mark officially accepted the head coaching position here at Michigan State University. And he put an end to several weeks of speculation. Just deaded it. You know, and he came out and said, look, you know, quote, leaving Cincinnati is a hard decision for my family. The last three seasons have been incredible for us as our staff has been able to get Cincinnati football back on track. I want to thank Mike Thomas and Dr. Nancy Zimpfer for the incredible support. D'Antonio had an 18-17 record those last 3 years at the helm of the Bearcats. And check this. This decision came prior to the bowl game for the Bearcats. Talk about finishing seasons, right? That decision for Mark D'Antonio to leave Cincinnati came prior to the bowl game for the Bearcats this year. Or that year, I should say. So, yeah. There you have that. Finishing out seasons? Well, Coach D, what happened in 06? Look, we love Coach Mark D'Antonio. What he has done here at Michigan State is truly remarkable. So, with this rant being said, you got to look at it at perspective-wise. Players, rightly, are looking at it from a selfish perspective and thinking about their professional football futures. I can't blame any player who says that I am not playing in a bowl game that means nothing, and I am now going to focus on getting my body ready for the NFL Combine and the NFL Draft. And coaches can't sit there and disagree with that choice. They just can't. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome to the show Aaron Harris, who will be joining us live from France. That must be nice, right? Aaron Harris, former Michigan State men's basketball player. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say.
All right, happy holidays to you and yours. I just finished my rant on Mark D'Antonio's comments about Justin Lane and D'Antonio's quote-unquote philosophy on players finishing out the year, and yes, that includes bowl games, but the fact that, you know, when Coach D'Antonio, prior, you know, to taking the job here at Michigan State, when he was the head coach at Cincinnati, he left. You know, that final year, he left. He didn't coach in the bowl game. Defensive coordinator at the time, Pat Narduzzi, he coached that bowl game. He was named the interim head coach for the bowl game. So how can Coach D stand up there and say, yeah, I think the players should finish out the season, when Coach D didn't do that when he was at Cincinnati? You know, it's a bit of a contradiction, and you're not looking at the bigger picture here. These are the NFL futures of a player like, you know, the caliber of a Justin Lane. He doesn't want to jeopardize his body. He doesn't want to get injured, because things happen. At the blink of an eye, your professional career can be over, and it can be derailed. All right? So those who sit up there and say, play in the bowl game, finish out the year, it's ignorance. It really is. That's truly what it comes down to. I think this is a great segue to our guest for today's Current Sports. He joins us from France, and you talk about ending careers, right? I mean, his career was ended far too short. His final season here at Michigan State for the Michigan State men's basketball team, if you remember that road game, Michigan State playing Purdue, I believe it was, you know, last year. Well, it's a couple of years ago now. And you know, Aaron Harris, you know, has a knee injury, that a really, really bad injury that ended his Michigan State men's basketball career. And he had to go into rehab and work his way back to try and make his professional basketball dreams come true, which he has now done. And we are all incredibly proud of him. And we thank him for spending some time on this, I should say, Thursday evening for him overseas. Aaron Harris, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Without a doubt, man. And, you know, just briefly, Aaron, you know, I've been going on this rant about, you know, college football players deciding to not play in the bowl game and not risk any injury and prepare their bodies for the next level. I just want to get your thoughts from a player who did have an injury his last year of college basketball. You know firsthand, Aaron, just how quickly things can change, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, that, just like you said, that things can change in the blink of an eye, man, when it comes to your ability to actually be out there on the field or on the court. You know, things can change, and, I mean, your body is the product. Your body is the product, so.
Yeah, that's so true. And Aaron, for you, what has this journey been like for you, man? You know, first off, I mean, it is so cool to see you now overseas playing professionally, you know, getting paid to play the game. And I know this has been a long journey for you. Can you just kind of take us through, you know, what the last year and a half has been like for you, and what has kept you going despite the injury to get back and to make this dream come true?
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm sure most people can remember, you know, my Michigan State time, and, you know, we had some good times and we had some bad times. And then, you know, my senior year, getting hurt at Purdue, something I never thought would happen to me, you know, but just gathered the strength and the faith to work hard to get back with the help of some family members, teammates, and some other people that I, you know, form relationships up there with that helped me get along, you know. I just told myself to keep a smile every day, and I told myself that basketball is what I wanted to do, and I just committed to it at the end of the day. Just, you know, I had to commit to it. And, you know, from there, I sat out almost a whole year, 11 months of rehab. Coach Izzo allowed me to stay up there on campus and rehab there on the facilities and stay there, you know, which was a blessing. Helped me, you know, helped propel me now to where I am. And, you know, from there, I went to the G League for a second, finished out the second half of that season, got to get that experience playing there. But, I didn't get to play much because of my injury. Just coming back from that. So it was just a good thing to be in there and get to practice and, you know, get a couple minutes here and there in the games there in the NBA G League playing against that high competition there. Then that season finished, and then I went through the summer working out. I was working out back home. I had a trainer, Joey Burton, who trains guys back in Indiana. And I worked with him all summer and got my agent. My agent, you know, they were working for me. The company was working for me all summer, and they got me a job. So I came across a job out here in Finland, in Tampere, Finland. And, you know, what I had heard about this place was that it was a great place to start career. And I looked at that as really the true start of my professional career. You know, I worked my whole life to get to that point to my professional career. And so it is definitely a dream come true for me to now to be a professional basketball player. And, you know, from at this point, I'm just learning as I go, you know, how to be a better and better pro, you know, because it's not just about what you do on the court. It's about the business of it. And you know, so it's a lot to learn. I'm a young guy. I'm 25 now, but I see myself as young. And, you know, I'm just really starting off. So, you know, there's a lot to come ahead. Like I said, just got to just keep my antennas up and be a sponge. And I mean, I'm healthy right now. I mean, there's many more bumps and bruises that come along with the season, though. You know, ankles and knees and shoulder. You know, being on that battlefield. But I'm in it now. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting. You know, I'm playing on this team. You know, we're doing well, and I'm loving it so far. And it's a long season to go. This season, I'm on a little break right now. We got a little break. I'm out here in France visiting a friend of mine, old teammate of mine who lives out here in France. I'm gonna spend Christmas out here with him and his family, and then get back to work. And like I said, the season's not going to end till May. So I've never played a season this long in my life, never played a season with this many games and that been that many months. So it's going to be a challenge for me to get through this season. But I'm ready to put my head to it and see what's going to happen in the next coming years. I'm hoping to make a great career out of what I'm doing right now.
That's amazing, Aaron. And, you know, and to go back, because I want to talk about your team in just a moment. And I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it the right way. I'm probably going to butcher this, Aaron. But is it Pyrinto Tampere?
It's the Tampere Pyrinto.
Oh, my gosh. I totally butchered that. That is embarrassing. Drew, when we post the podcast version, we're cutting that out when we post that. All right. That is horrible. Right, yeah, I'm going to do my own editing on this one, all right, Drew? But, Aaron, you know, before we talk about your squad, I want to go back to what you noted, that 11-month rehab period in which Tom Izzo allowed you to stay around the MSU men's basketball facilities and get your body right. What was the toughest part for you when it came to rehabbing?
Say that one more time. What did it?
What was the toughest part of that rehab process, that 11-month rehab process? Because I'm pretty sure you probably had some moments like, man, am I ever going to get 100%?
Yeah, man. It was. I mean, that's the phases of it. It's like at first, it's like there's nothing you can do. You gotta wait on your time to have surgery. And, you know, you got kind of a piece at that time because you know you can't get on the court at that point. It's like, I'm not even going to trip, you know. But at the same time, you know, wearing that straight brace, I couldn't even bend my knee for almost a whole month. I couldn't bend my knee, so that was kind of annoying for me, and that was a hard part to get through because it was uncomfortable to sleep and it just the pain. And then after surgery, it was painful again. I had to go through two periods of having to train my knee to bend. So that was, I couldn't even bend my knee, you know, to 90 degrees for a long time. So that was hard to do. But once I got my knee bending, it was kind of easy from there. Once I got my knee bending and, you know, the pain was, I was getting used to the pain. I was getting the strength back in my legs. And then, another hard part was later on down the line, probably around like 7 months, where I felt like, you know, I had started running in the underwater treadmill. I had, you know, my knee swelling was almost all the way down. I could, you know, I really could dunk, and I could run a little bit. And I was feeling like it was almost time for me to get on that court. And Nick, our trainer there, guy who helped me get through my rehab with me, he was right there with me, was telling me I need to be patient. You know, let's take it to 10 months. You know, let's take it to 11 months. Let's make sure. So that was another tough part, just feeling like I really wanted to get out on that court. And it wasn't time yet, but I learned patience from it. Learned patience and persistence, perseverance from it. So
yeah, and that has certainly paid off, Aaron. And you know, I'm curious, when you make a lifestyle change like this, you know, you go from being here in the States, everybody speaks English, the basketball culture is different. I'm curious, when you got this opportunity to go to Finland and play professional basketball, what was it a culture shock for you? What was it like, man, I gotta get used to things out here? And if so, what are you still trying to adjust to overseas?
It was a little bit of a culture shock, but, you know, I see myself as a pretty adaptable person. And, you know, it's exciting for me to see different parts of the world, you know. And, you know, people are people wherever you go. And I'm kind of seeing that. That's what I'm seeing. And everybody speaks English, though, in where I'm at in Finland.
Nice.
Everybody speaks English.
Okay.
Pretty much. Everybody, you know, 90% of the people speak great English. So I can talk to the people easily. I thought that the food wasn't going to be – I thought that I really wasn't going to like the food a lot, but they actually have a variety of food there. A lot. They have food from a lot of different places around the world. So there's a choice of types of food there also. And so the only thing is the weather. It gets dark really early. It gets dark around like 4 o'clock. Like it looks like 9 or 10 o'clock at night around 4 o'clock there.
Oh, wow.
And the temperature is – the temperature is crazy, you know. It's getting really cold out here, but you know, I got my coat, I got my sweatpants, I got my sweats and everything, so I'll be cool. Get through this winter real quick. Get through, you know, it ain't the first time I've seen a cold winter with a lot of snow. So.
I was about to say, man, you were here in Michigan, right? So you should feel right at home here. And for you, you talk about the food. What's your favorite dish out there?
My favorite food is what it would be anywhere in the world, Italian. It's like there's an Italian spot there. It's like an authentic Italian spot. And I like to get the, it's called pasta di mamma. It's just basically spaghetti and meatballs. But that's like my favorite thing to get there.
That's awesome. That is awesome stuff, Aaron. And you talk about this being the longest season you've ever had while playing basketball. When it comes to the league in which you play in, how many games do you all play in on average? How many games a week?
We'll play 2 games a week at the most. Mm-hmm. Like we mostly play on Wednesday and Saturdays. We mostly play on Wednesday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Friday, or Wednesday, Saturday, or we might play Friday, Sunday, or something like that, and then play Wednesday. Well, I guess 3 games would be kind of the most we would play in 7 days. But we get a good amount of off time. So, but we play about 40 something games. Play about 40 something games.
Oh, that's awesome. And Aaron, are there any of your teammates that we may know here in the States that played either collegiate ball or professionally in the league, or any players that you've gone against that are some pretty big household names anywhere here in America?
I don't know if anybody's familiar with the past years at of Illinois in the Big Ten. Illinois, mm-hmm. their roster in the past few years, but there's a guy who's like a year younger than me. His name's Jalen Tate. That's my point guard.
Oh, yeah, Jalen of course. Tate. Right.
Jalen Tate. Yeah, Jalen Tate is my point guard. And so I just had met him for the first time when we found out we were going to be on the same team. So probably some guys are familiar with him because he played at Illinois in the past years recently. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm curious, what are the fans like out there in Finland? Are they basketball crazy, or is it a bit subdued overseas when it comes to hoops?
It depends. Well, hey, pretty much all my games are almost all packed. You know, the house is packed. And they make a lot of noise in there. They love it. And, I mean, but their main thing out here is soccer. Pretty sure their main thing is soccer,
right?
Yeah, so everybody plays soccer. We play soccer before the day before the game day. We play soccer as a team. We have like a little soccer game before practice every time. So I've been working on my soccer skills as well. But I think they're more of soccer fans. But they get loud for the basketball too. They'll fill the house for the basketball games too.
Oh, that's awesome, Aaron. Maybe you may have another career in soccer if you get really good at it, man, before those games.
Yeah, let's see, man. I might have to pass to my little bro, man. I'm getting older.
I hear you. And real quick, Aaron, I know you guys did play yesterday. That's why we couldn't get you on yesterday's Current Sports. But I know you guys played, and I'm probably going to butcher this name as well. The Helsinki Seagulls, and you guys fell by, 5 points? In that game, I'm looking at the box score, you had 8 points. What are your goals for this upcoming year? I mean, what is the big ultimate goal for you playing professionally now overseas?
It's just to, like I said, just keep learning what it is that I'm supposed to do out there more and more, just get more precise with my role, you know, just keep learning the systems, just learning how to be more versatile, because I know I'm not going to play here for who knows, but chances are I'm going to be playing for different coaches over these next years. So just buying in to the system, learning my role, learning how to be a part of the collective team, you know, and playing, you know, just learning how to play to win, learning the game more and more, becoming a master of the game. You know, the points and everything is going to come, but I just want to do my part while I'm on that floor. And, you know, I want to be a winner. So of all things, that's what I want to do is be a winner. So, and I know we're not going to win every single game, but, you know, I'm going to put the effort in. I'm going to put the effort in to win every game that I can, the best effort that I can. So that's really what I want to do. And I want to play a long career. I want to play as long as I possibly can, make money playing basketball, because that's what I love to do. So I'm just trying to learn how to be as good as I can. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I tell you what, Aaron, in my book and the book of many people out there looking at how you have rehabbed and got healthy and now having a great career overseas, you are already a winner, my man. On behalf of all of us here at Current Sports, we wish you well, and we got to get you back on soon and check in later on throughout the year. But happy holidays, man. Enjoy Christmas and happy New Year to you.
Same to you, man. Thanks for having me, man. Always good to talk to you, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. The one, the only, Aaron Harris. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with former Michigan State men's basketball player Aaron Harris, who is now having a great career overseas playing professional basketball in Finland. Aaron will be spending the holidays in France with a friend, and he joined us live from France just a moment ago. If you happen to miss that chat or any Current Sports show, you know that you can simply visit WKAR.org to catch the podcast version of Current Sports. And as we come up on the close of this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, I knew we were going to see him return to the sidelines in some way, shape, form, or capacity. I want to pass along this news to you all. Speaking of basketball overseas, right? Get this. Naismith Hall of Famer, Rick Pitino. Yes, the same Rick Pitino that was ousted at the University of Louisville for the scandal that occurred with the hiring of escorts for recruits, with alleged wire money when it comes to Brian Bowen. Yeah, that Rick Pitino. Get this, Pitino is finalizing a deal to become the head coach of EuroLeague Power, and I'm going to butcher this name as well, Panathinaikos of Greece. That's according to ESPN. ESPN reported this about 20 minutes ago. Pitino's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has been working with Panathinaikos, I'm butchering that name, the ownership of that team on a contract to coach the rest of this team's season. That's amazing. Pitino says he wants to return to the NBA at some point as a head coach, and he has hopes that a return to pro basketball in Europe can be a stepping stone to achieving that. I knew that Pitino wasn't done, and all of that jazz about him going on the air and saying, no, I have no more passion to coach the game of basketball. I have turned that chapter. I want to do something else. Stop it. Come on, Pitino. I knew that somebody out there was going to give the 66-year-old Pitino a shot. All right. And you know what? I want to dedicate a brief segment to this topic on tomorrow's Current Sports. I won't be able to do it justice right now, seeing as though we have 90 seconds left in the hour. But those who tuned in during our headliners, you know that the last two headliners kind of related in a way. As former Detroit Lions wide receiver Titus Young, who has battled with mental issues and demons, he was released from the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation Center last week after serving almost half of his four-year prison sentence for battery with serious injury. And news broke early today that Josh Gordon, New England Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, is stepping away from football to focus on his mental health. On tomorrow's Current Sports, I want to talk about the relation of football and mental health. All right? So a bit of a tease there. Tune into the Friday edition of Current Sports for that. It will be the final Current Sports before Christmas. All right? We'll also welcome Johnny Lewis of Blessed Body Training for another edition of Fit Fridays for you all. Going to be a busy Friday edition of Current Sports. Until then, be easy, people.
Finito.